Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, David K. Shiflett, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author and former New York Times reporter, talks about all the things we have given up since 9/11. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Alicia Cafferata, Larry Mathias, and Robert Eidhoven. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background check, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in about 10 years.
So, do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program Pulitzer Prize-winning author David K. Shiflett. He won for Arab and Jew in 1987, former foreign correspondent for the New York Times. And he's written a new book called The Rights of the People, How Our Search for Safety Invades Our Liberties. And David, I understand that you started writing this book on 9/11. What happened that day?
That's when I had the idea. I actually had another book on poverty to do, The Working Poor, so I had another couple of years before I started on this. But after watching the horrible scenes on television, it suddenly occurred to me, well, there go our civil liberties. Now, I knew that was a rash prediction, so I had a second thought that was more nuanced, which is, well, we're going to face a time of testing here. How are we going to cope with this, and how are we going to maintain our constitutional rights and also go after terrorism?
And the interesting thing is that in this computer age, it seems that we've lost all rights to privacy right off the bat.
We've given them up a lot, that's for sure. I think sometimes people don't realize the extent to which we do that, and it sometimes comes back around and, you know, hits them from behind. But even on the streets, a lot of people give up their rights. I mean, the first few chapters of this book that I've written are devoted to police work on the streets of very dangerous neighborhoods in Washington, D.C. I went out with narcotics squads and drug and also gun squads, which try to get guns off of people. And, you know, when the police, you know, move up into neighborhoods in uniform, the gun squad is in uniform, in marked cars, they want to see the reactions of people standing around on the street because they think they can tell by reactions who has a gun. What often happens is young guys who are standing on the street, when the cops come up, will just automatically, without being asked, pull their T-shirts up to show that they have no guns tucked in their waistbands. And they acquiesce to physical pat-downs and searches out there in front of their houses, which, of course, is not permitted under the Fourth Amendment unless you waive your rights by letting the police do it. I mean, they can't actually come and frisk you unless they have reasonable suspicion to think that you are armed or probable cause, which is a higher standard, to believe that you are committing a crime. But people do give up their rights in many different venues. That's you know, right in front of their homes. Now, I would assume that a lot of folks in, you know, mostly white middle-class neighborhoods would be pretty outraged if police came through their neighborhoods and stopped them, you know, as they were mowing their lawns or, you know, walking their kids to school and asked if they had any guns or drugs and then patted them down. I think that would be something that would trigger tremendous resentment. But that does not happen in most of the poor neighborhoods because people are just so accustomed to the police coming in.
Don't we give up these kind of rights when we go, for example, to an airport and go through the TSA lines?
That's right. We do. Absolutely. It's I think at the airport, it's now I don't. The law may be a little murky on this, but certainly, and it's being tested. But I would say that you are consenting to be searched when you go and, you know, get on a plane. I mean, you're basically waiving your Fourth Amendment right. Now, Fourth Amendment is a very strongly worded part of the Constitution. You know, it says the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects from unreasonable search and seizure, you know, shall not be violated, so forth. Now, that word secure is kind of interesting because we often feel that there's a zero-sum game here between liberty and security, that it's a trade-off. The founders of our country, I think, didn't see it that way. They thought of us as being secure from the government, and therefore the Fourth Amendment really requires probable cause to believe that evidence of a crime will be found. Now, no such probable cause is there when you're getting on a plane. So you have to voluntarily waive that Fourth Amendment right. You basically say, by presenting yourself to the TSA, you may search me without any probable cause. So I think that's what it's about. And, you know, it's something that I think we all accept as an inconvenience for our own security.
At some point, did Congress and the president, in both cases, President Bush and President Obama, just give up on this and have more concern about another attack rather than worrying about our constitutional rights?
I think that's true. There's no question that if you're president and if you're the head of the FBI, or if you're in any law enforcement or intelligence agency, you are going to think, and I think rightly, that you're going to be criticized much more severely for missing a terrorist attack than for violating people's constitutional rights. So the political environment is such that generally I think people do not want to take the risks. The problem here is that if you look carefully at the Patriot Act, which amended a whole lot of laws, particularly the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which was regulating domestic intelligence gathering, you know, it's very difficult to find cases where these extensive surveillance powers have been instrumental in stopping terrorist attacks. Now, I know we keep hearing from officials that they have, but they don't give examples. I can think of two examples, maybe three, the third one being a little bit in a gray area, where the information that was gathered by this extensive surveillance actually did have an effect on law enforcement. Otherwise, and these were not big attacks, by the way, I mean that were unraveled. So otherwise, it looks to me as if what's happened here is that the powers have been used not very effectively, first of all, and secondly, that they've inundated analysts with too much information. It's very difficult for these folks, and they're human beings at the end of the chain here, not just computers, very hard for them to sift through all the noise and hear the ominous melodies that are embedded in that noise. It's hard because there's just too much information. There's not the kind of careful discrimination about what is valid, you know, what is probable cause and what isn't, that you need to be accurate and efficient in your intelligence gathering and law enforcement.
The Rights of the People is the book. David K. Shipler is the author. We'll be back with more when we return.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time.
Feels like the first time.
So get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection.
Love isn't always on. No more, Mr. Nice Guy.
Don't bring me down.
The boys are back in town.
These are the classic songs that live on forever. Can't get this massive 8-CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with the complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Attention antidepressant users. The FDA has associated the use of certain antidepressants with birth defects.
If you took Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft, Prozac, or Prestique and had a child born with a serious birth defect, call the Relion Group now.
Do not delay. There are time deadlines to file a claim.
There is absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us a penny unless we are successful.
Call 1-800-237-1788. Don't delay. Call now.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with David K. Shipler, the Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Arab and Jew in 1987, former foreign correspondent for the New York Times, and his new book is The Rights of the People, How Our Search for Safety Invades Our Liberties. Now, this kind of thing has gone on before in our nation's history, correct?
Yes, I count six other, this is the sixth period, I count five previous periods in which we've deviated from our constitutional protections in the interest of national security. The first was in 1798, when we were in a sort of virtual naval war with France, and under John Adams, the Alien and Sedition Acts were passed, making it possible for the government to arrest and deport foreigners, not just those from a country we were at war with, but any foreigners without due process, and then also arrest and prosecute people who criticized the government. So those... That was the first period. The second was the Civil War, when Lincoln suspended habeas corpus and used the army to arrest supposed Confederate sympathizers and used military commissions to try them, although the Supreme Court after the war ruled that you could not use military commissions if civilian courts were functioning and available. And then you had the World War One period, where Woodrow Wilson led a campaign of paranoia against those who opposed American entry into the war, and there was a lot of political prosecution of dissidents, you could say, that is, labor leaders, Bolsheviks, anarchists, people on the left, socialists who were criticizing the U.S. for its involvement in this war overseas. And then you had World War One. Of course, we all know about the Japanese internment. 120,000 ethnic Japanese, 80,000 of whom were Americans. And in that period, too, there was an act passed in 1940 called the Smith Act, which criminalized the advocacy of the violent overthrow of the government. Now, that remains on the books, but at the time, that was kind of stretched to criminalize even membership in socialist or fascist or communist parties or movements. The assumption was if you're a member or if you're associated with those movements, you automatically want the violent overthrow of the government. And it was only in the 50s that the Supreme Court then ruled that you had to show that there was an imminent and concrete connection between, you know, advocating or membership or advocating that violent overthrow and actually doing it, doing something about it. So that act is still on the books, but it's really dormant. And then, you know, after World War II, the situation flowed into the more secret clandestine investigations of anti-war groups, civil rights groups, where the FBI, the IRS, the CIA, the NSA, military intelligence, all collected information and actually played dirty tricks on leaders, including Martin Luther King Jr. And it was the exposure of that kind of surreptitious domestic monitoring of political dissidents that actually generated enough outrage that a commission was impaneled called the Church Committee, headed by Senator Frank Church of Idaho. And his investigation was so detailed that Congress acted after that and passed a whole bunch of privacy laws in the 1970s. One of them was the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, which regulates domestic intelligence gathering. And that act was narrowly defined. That is, you could go to a secret court, get a secret warrant to bug and wiretap and monitor only for intelligence purposes. That act is what has been changed by the Patriot Act. That's been loosened up so that you don't have to be just involved in gathering intelligence. Now you can do it for the purpose of, you know, counterterrorism, even criminal proceedings. And the danger there is that it really evades the Fourth Amendment. You don't have to show that the person you're monitoring has committed a crime or has probably committed a crime. You can go after just about anybody who may have some remote association, several times removed, with somebody who may have been in contact with some terrorist organization or so forth. And so it's really a broad mandate that the government now has under the Patriot Act.
We've got about 30 seconds left here. In the past, there's always been a reset. What do you think it's going to take to reset so that we get our liberties back?
That's a good point, Sam. I think that it will take an abatement of the fear. We're still in a kind of post-traumatic phase 10 years after 9/11. We're still afraid. So we have to kind of get to the point where we wake up one day, hopefully, and look around and say, you know, there hasn't been a lot of terrorism, and maybe we don't need these fools. Or there has to be an egregious political prosecution using these tools, which will then energize the public and the Congress to say, enough, we have to make some changes and roll these powers back.
Alrighty, so this is, my understanding is this is the first volume. You have another volume coming out after this because it's such a huge topic. The book is The Rights of the People, How Our Search for Safety Invades Our Liberties, and written by author David K. Shipla, Pulitzer Prize-winning author for Arab and Jew back in 1987. Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me on, Sam.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe voting campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources, like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Robert Eithoven rejoins us with J3 Strategies. Always a pleasure to have you here, sir. Elisa Cafferata, lobbyist with Planned Parenthood, and Larry Mathias, executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association. My friend Chuck Muth has been going on for a long time about the fact that in Nevada we should overturn this ban on same-sex marriages because it's going to come federally no matter what, and Nevada should be the leader, not falling behind. New York State legalized it last week. Governor Cuomo signed the bill. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, I understand Maryland's next. You know, the vote was pretty overwhelming in Nevada to maintain marriage between one man and one woman. I think it'll be a while. I think if it were up to the politicians, it would happen more quickly. I just don't see, given the way the vote went down, what was it, a decade ago or so, I don't know if Nevada's quite ready to make that leap yet. I think there is still, even though we are a Democratic state registration-wise, I think a lot of those Democrats are a little bit more conservative. But I think the day will come. I just don't think Nevada's going to be one of those early states following New York.
From a fiscal point of view,
it's unfortunately now New York will get all the tourism, but it would make tons of sense to legalize, and because people would flock to Nevada to get married.
And who can put on a better party than
Nevada? And who can put on a better party, although we closed the Liberace Museum. It's too bad. But, but I think Nevadans are libertarian. They're very much live and let live. If you ask the question, is marriage between a man and a woman, people are going to say yes. But if you say, but should, gays and lesbians be able to get married, I think people in Nevada will say yes. And I think you'll see it on the ballot in 2012.
Isn't it ironic that in a country where the divorce rate is 50%, that people who want to get married are not being allowed to?
Well, I think that their divorce rate will probably be 50% too. But I think that what's happened is culturally, the issue has shifted. It's been on the table now for 20 years or thereabouts. It started as an issue mostly religious values and has turned into an issue of civil rights. And I think as that's happened, the libertarians join those who are the more progressives, so it's an odd alliance, but I think that's why the difference in the votes, and I do think that it's probably generally going to be passed.
Let's go back to the interview we just did with David K. Shipler, talking about how easily we've given up our Fourth Amendment rights. Do you feel that we rolled over and that we haven't reached a point where we're starting to push back?
I think that people were scared after 9/11, and we did pass the Patriot Act, which had some sweeping powers that previously would not have been given to the federal government in terms of surveillance. And when people are afraid, they do tend to say, okay, I would be willing to give up a few of my liberties for protections. But I think there's so much sweeping legislation happening now that's conservative and going further and further into people's lives that they are taking notice, and I think we will start to see some pushback.
I think the aggregation of power over the last generation in the central government is indeed dangerous to liberty. I do think that what happened after 9/11 is that a whole bunch of stuff that had nothing to do with 9/11 and that couldn't pass for 20 years prior to that was thrown together into the Patriot Act, and to be against the Patriot Act would be unpatriotic. But what it really was a centralization of an awful lot of power to gather information and to decide who is or who is not an enemy of the state.
You get the last word, Robert.
The Patriot Act has been reauthorized a number of times since 9/11.
Including just recently.
It was born in the wake of 9/11, but it's been reauthorized even, I believe, most recently with an auto pen. But that's, I think it's an ongoing debate, and you talked about in our previous discussion about ACLU types, progressives coming together with libertarian-leaning Republicans. That's another case where you see a lot of those alliances forming that typically are on opposite sides on many congressional issues. But the libertarians are teaming up with more progressive types in taking on portions of the Patriot Act.
The difference is one is trying to seek rights and one is trying to actually diminish rights.
It was interesting, and if people want to go back to our website and check out the show, we had a show with the ACLU and the Eagle Forum and how many issues they actually are working together on, which one wouldn't have expected. Okay, we've got about a minute left. Let's talk about Kate Marshall, now the Democrats' choice to run against Mark Amadei. Is she actually going to become a conservative before Election Day, or is she just taking conservative positions?
I suspect that both candidates are going to have election cycle conversions and are going to be far different than most of us have seen them over the years.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think Kate Marshall, I think we'll see a poll come out very soon that shows her in the lead or right there very close with Mark Amadei, and it'll scare the Amadei campaign team into some action. I think this is a very close race, and considering there's only one federal race on September 13th, and this is it, the Republicans better be careful.
But isn't the fact that it's a special election going to mean it's a low turnout and therefore more of the Republican base will be there?
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. I mean, you're going into 2012. There's going to be so much national money brought into this campaign. And I hope the NRCC doesn't look at this as, oh, that's a safe Republican seat. It's always been in Republican hands. We don't need to play there because the Democrats will be playing here.
And you're still going to have all those third party candidates taking off little bits of votes. So I think whatever the Supreme Court does, it's still kind of an open opportunity. And Kate works very hard. But neither one of them, Amadei or Kate, have ever had to put together the kind of ground game that this special election is going to require.
This will be a national focus. That's always good for the Nevada economy.
And that's where we have to leave it. And a good 60 minutes for this program. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
Renovation, a medical spa by Dr. Charles Burden, offering Restylane and Botox treatments plus a full-service spa. Drift away with a tranquil Swedish massage. Our facials are customized for your specific skin care needs. Rejuvenate the whole body with one of our many body wraps and finish with a professional manicure, pedicure, or makeup application. Renovation, a medical spa. Treatments to refresh your life. 960 Collin Crossing, one block west of McCarran at Plum.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, presidential historian Clay Jenkinson will be here. A fascinating show. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.